Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We praise you for your wonderful gift of your word to us. And Father, we ask that you open our hearts and minds now through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear what you have to say to us. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 14. Please stand in honor of God's word. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told the Lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I a god to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There is a story about a CEO of a Fortune 500 company who pulled into a service station to get some gas. He went inside to pay, and when he came out, he noticed that his wife was engaged in a deep discussion with the service station attendant. It turned out that she used to date this man when they were in high school. The CEO got in the car, and the two drove in silence for a while, but he was feeling pretty good about himself when he finally spoke. "I bet I know what you were thinking. I bet you were thinking you're glad you married me, a Fortune 500 CEO, and not him, a service station attendant." His wife said, "No, I was thinking, if I'd married him, he'd be a Fortune 500 CEO, and you'd be a service station attendant." Pride has a way, an amazing ability, in the most subtle of ways to slither and creep into all of us from time to time, does it not? Scripture tells us that God hates pride. And that is very evident from these words in Proverbs 8:13. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior, and perverse speech. And listen to what the scripture tells us, what will happen because of pride. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. Proverbs 16:18 tells us, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. And Proverbs 29:23 tells us, a man's pride brings him low. Craig Larson describes pride in this way. He said, pride is the dandelion of the soul. Its root goes deep. Only a little left behind sprouts again. Its seeds lodge in the tiniest encouraging cracks, and it flourishes in good soil. The danger of pride is that it feeds on goodness. Lloyd Ogilvie says, pride takes the place of praise in our hearts. It's the desire to be adequate in our own strength, to be loved by God because we are good enough, and to be admired by people because of our superior performance. He says, the snake is not in the grass, it's in our souls. Well, today's scripture certainly deals with a very proud man named Naaman. Naaman was the captain of the army of the king of Aram, or also known as Syria. Scripture describes him as being a great man, highly regarded, a valiant soldier. As great and highly respected as he was, Naaman had a major problem. He had leprosy. Its symptoms start in the skin and peripheral nervous system. Then it spreads to other parts such as the hands, the feet, the face, and the earlobes. Patients with leprosy experience disfigurement of the skin and bones, twisting of the limbs, and curling of the fingers to form the characteristic claw hand. Facial changes include thickening of the outer ear and collapsing of the nose. Tumor-like growths may form on the skin and in the respiratory tract, and the optic nerve may deteriorate. The largest number of deformities develop from loss of pain sensation due to extensive nerve damage. It was and is an awful disease. The leopard was considered to be unclean and had to be isolated from society to a certain degree. And if that wasn't bad enough, whenever someone went by, he had to cry out, unclean, unclean. He had to wear black with a hood covering his face and live outside the city walls. Whenever the Lord Jesus healed a leper, he always pronounced the person not healed, but cleansed. The rite of purification in the Old Testament did not cure. It only recognized the fact that a leper was cured. He was clean of the disease, or that he never really had the incurable type of leprosy. He could then be reconciled to society. The priest was then to examine the skin and pronounce that the person was clean or unclean, depending upon his observation. This is what Naaman is dealing with. He's a valiant soldier, but he got some dreadful, awful disease. Now, Naaman's army had taken this young girl captive from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. And isn't it amazing at times who God will use in his plan? Because it is this young girl that tells Naaman's wife where Naaman can get some help, how he can be cured. she tells her of the prophet who is in Samaria. Now Naaman listens to what the girl has told his wife, and he goes to the king, and he explains. And the king tells him to go on, and he even sends a forwarding letter to the king of Israel. Naaman goes on the journey, taking some goods with him. Well, not just some goods. He takes a lot of goods. Some estimate it was worth over $1 million what he took on this trip. Needless to say, it was a rather showy presentation that he intends to make. Maybe he thought he could actually buy his healing. Now, we must note that Israel and its neighboring nation, Syria, were not on the best of terms. So when the king of Israel reads this letter, he tears his robes. He is just distraught because he's thinking that the king of Syria is trying to pick a quarrel. Well, the prophet Elisha gets word of this, and he tells him to let the man come to him. So Naaman goes, but he is in for a big surprise when he gets to Elisha's home. He doesn't get to see Elisha. He sees a messenger with some strange instructions for him. Here's a man who's greatly respected and revered, and he doesn't even get to see the main man. Why, he is outraged at these instructions. To go to the Jordan and wash 7 times and his flesh would be restored? He believes Elisha should have come out and called on the name of the Lord and wave his hand over him and cure the leprosy. Elisha wants to emphasize that the Lord was in charge of the miracle and would do it in his own peculiar way. Naaman had these preconceived ideas of how it all should be done. And then he gets rather testy about dipping into the Jordan. And he's thinking he's worth more than that, since there are better rivers in Damascus. Why would I want to dip in the Jordan? And you half wonder if he thought the whole process was just rather too simple, and he couldn't believe that it could work. Now again, we have some other individuals come into play in this story. Rather, some other unusual individuals that the Lord uses, because these are his servants, and they give counsel to Naaman. And they say, hey, look, you know, if he would have told you to do something magnificent, would you have done it? It's just a simple task. Go wash in the Jordan, dip down 7 times. Just do it, is basically what they tell him. And this prideful Naaman humbles himself finally, and he goes down, and he dips once, and he comes up, and he dips again, and he comes back up, and he dips. And you might think he's probably looking at his skin. Maybe on the 6th time down, he's checking it out. And then on the 7th, he goes down as he's commanded, and he comes out. And he's not only cured of the leprosy, but it's interesting here that they say that his skin was like a young boy. Remember, this was a warrior. And now he looks, and his skin is not only cured, but it looks awful good. It looks rather young. Naaman puts aside his pride. He lets it go, and he finally becomes clean. And he recognizes with great joy before Elisha in verse 15, the next verse, he says, now I know there is a God, no God in all the world except in Israel. And that experience made Naaman a believer. Well, as we look at this, very interesting story. There's some things in there that we can really apply to ourselves today. There's lessons to be learned from Naaman. Because we all have pride that kind of slithers into our lives from time to time. And if there's one thing we learned in this lesson, is that the message of salvation is simple. And none of us are worthy. And it's a simple message. Jesus' forgiveness and cleansing are so simple. For he invites us to come to him, to set aside pride, to come wash and be clean. Come in humility to a Lord who loves us so much that he died on the cross at Calvary to save us from our sins, was resurrected to new life. And that he sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. He is alive. And through belief in him, he grants to us his Holy Spirit to live and dwell within us day in and day out. And he walks with us. And he desires to be with us. And he wants us to become more like him, which means we've got to humble ourselves before the Lord. Obedience to God begins with humility. Naaman had to learn that. And we have to learn that at times as well. Jesus tells us in his word what to do, and we kind of like to muddy the waters a little bit. We want to do it our way. A three-year-old boy named Richard hated to take a bath. He just despised soap and water. Every time his mother would try to get him to take a bath, it was like World War III. Well, one day she thought she would approach the subject differently, with a more positive angle to it. Son, don't you want to be a nice, clean, sweet-smelling little boy? He said, yes, Mama, but instead of taking a bath, can't you just sort of dust me off? You know, sometimes that's the way we approach God. You know, we don't really want to do exactly what you say. Let me kind of do this my way. Jesus says, forgive. And we say, well, you just don't know what that person did to me, Lord. The Lord knows exactly what the person did to us. But Jesus says to forgive. It's simple. And we try to muddy the waters because of our pride. Jesus says, share the gospel with someone. And our pride kind of sneaks in again. And we say, well, I just don't want to lose friends. I don't want to look like too much of a religious person. I don't want somebody not to like me. I'm just not competent. And the list goes on and on. And to be honest, a lot of it is about pride. Jesus says, pray for even the smallest of matters in your life. And you know what we do? Sometimes we let pride come in and say, well, you know, there are bigger problems out there. Or we pray and then we go on to say, well, it'll never work out anyways. Because pride comes in to play. Jesus says, trust. Trust. The other lectionary passage today was about Jesus giving instructions about going out and sharing the gospel message with others and how he sends the disciples out. And he gives them specific instructions. And the Lord gives us specific instructions in life as well. And you know, the pride sneaks in and we say, I can handle this myself. I can do it my way. I know what's best for me. Jesus says, encourage others. And we think we can do a better job because pride sneaks in. And I want to say something to Bob today. You know, when you serve in the church for a long length of time and you have to pass the baton on, one of the greatest things is that you do it graciously and you encourage the person that follows you. And Bob has done that. He has encouraged Judy. He has been willing to work with her to show her what needs to be done, especially in February when those big reports have to be made to presbytery. And that's the way we are called to be the church. It's not about us and look at my long tenure that I served. It's about how you're going to pass that baton graciously to the next person. And we also see that in the process now with Sally. Sally has resigned as treasurer. She's finishing up. But she's working with Gary Jabot, showing him and passing the baton graciously. That's what we're called to do in the church. And not let pride in saying, well, I certainly could have done it better than they could have, and I did it better all those years. That's how pride sneaks in. God can use anyone in any circumstance for his will to be done. And we see that in the life of Naaman. We saw how he brought him down to his knees, down to that water the seventh time. We saw how he used all these very unusual people in his life to help him deal with his pride. Lloyd Ogilvie says, pride takes the place of praise in our hearts. You want to get rid of pride in your life? Start praising the Lord. Because as we humble ourselves before him, he shows us the way he has called us to live. And thanks be to God that we can live humbly before an almighty God who loves us so much. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We praise you for this story that you place in your word to teach us. You teach us, Lord, in your word, in Naaman's story, that the gospel message is a very simple message. Jesus came, he died, he rose again, and he forgives our sins. He gives new life every day, and we have the gift of eternal life when we believe and trust in him. It is so simple, Lord, and sometimes we try to muddy that water. We try to make it more than it is. And it's a simple, simple message. And Father, when we have faith in you and we trust in you as our Lord and Savior, you call us to live in obedience to you and your instructions for life. And Lord, so often pride slips in. And we pray that you help us to set aside the pride and help us to start praising you, knowing that every single one of us is unworthy of your great gift of love and grace. There's not one of us that's any more worthy than anyone else in this room or in this world. But it's your grace that has saved us. And so we pray that you help us to be humble servants of yours, not seeking attention, not trying to do it our own way, not hanging on to things that we need to forgive because we think we are better than the person that hurt us. And the list can go on and on and on, Lord, example after example of how you instruct us to trust you and to obey with humble hearts. Help us each and every day to live with that great humility. We ask and we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.